The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 23rd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. If ever this nation of ours got a full display of how different perspectives can be looking toward the center from the left and the right, we certainly have gotten a display of those varying perspectives these past 2 weeks from the House Judiciary Committee hearings. You may have heard the entire broadcast on C-SPAN or National Public Radio, or caught some sound bites on Fox News, MSNBC, or in the daily papers. It doesn't matter if your vantage point is from the left or from the right. That's not my point. What has been absolutely stunning is how two sets of people can hear exactly the same pieces of information and draw completely different conclusions about what they've seen and heard. Whether we're talking about these particular procedures in our own government or observing here from across the pond as our British siblings debate whether to Brexit or not to Brexit, if we're debating whether the city of Seattle has a homelessness crisis that is killing it or not killing it, or whether license tabs should be heavily taxed or cost $30, the difference of perspectives between left and right, if you will, have become stunningly binary. I'm not sure how we've gotten here, but there seems to be so little room these days for a spirit of compromise, a willingness to come together at some sort of middle ground. We are a community, a church, a nation, a world in which the ability to listen, to hear one another, to keep an open mind, in other words, to love, has become a lost art. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Much like us, these two criminals hanging on the right and the left of Jesus have diametrically opposing views of what is happening to them. Listen in once again. One of the criminals derided Jesus, saying to him, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." While the other said this, "We are getting what we deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." And there between them hangs Jesus, our King, one arm stretched out to the criminal on his right, and one arm stretched out to the criminal on his left. One believes, despite his crime, he should be saved. The other completely disagrees. We are getting what we deserve. As is often the case, what is happening on the extremes is hardly the point. The place that God acts, the place that matters, is the place between. It is the place of Christ the King, not seated on a throne, reaching for power, but hanging on a cross, arms extended to the left and to the right, stretching to bring things to the center, reaching for all he is worth to all, those to the left and those to the right, with a promise of love that will stop at nothing to bring us together, not even death. A love that is in its very nature intended to change the world and transform it into a place that is paradise. Eden restored, a new creation. Colossians speaks of Christ in precisely this way in today's second lesson. He is the very image of God, the firstborn of creation, the only one who can bring and in fact has brought any hope of reuniting the human family. Jeremiah prophesies of one such as this, who is willing to bring justice and righteousness in order that all may live in safety. If you're anything like me, then you've probably grown weary of the posturing and polarization that has become the accepted way of life these days. We are certainly not the first of God's people to live through the sort of political rancor that has so characterized our nation and world, and we surely won't be the last. But right now, we are in the thick of it. We are living in a time where the place we hang is either on the far right or the far left. We have no imagination for anything but the continuing argument of the one criminal on the right and the other on the left. We have lost sight of the middle, which means we have lost sight of Jesus. The weariness that wears away at us from all the posturing and polarization and the insistence on left or right but no center is a difficult human virus to eradicate. That's for sure. But the crucified King, there in the middle of this droning, mindless debate at his left and his right, the crucified King into whose quickly pending death we have been baptized, calls us to the center with him. Christ our King calls us to the center, to the place of love, to his heart, to the place that listens and does its best to understand, to patiently remain open to whatever possibilities God might have in store for us. It is not always a convenient place to be, but it is the faithful place to be, the place to which God has called us. Perhaps as individuals, we cannot change the world. Perhaps we cannot bring the powers in our nation's halls of government to their senses alone. Perhaps we cannot alone affect a new creation. But from our place in the center, where Jesus is, a place that listens and ponders, and yes, a place that ultimately loves, from that place where we are called to be, we can each catch at least a glimpse of the paradise that Jesus promises today. The new Eden, a new creation. And from that faithful place in the center, perhaps we can begin to live into the hope of that new creation. The new creation that his dying and rising will one day bring to left and right alike. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.